It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and if you have a Bible, you'll want to turn it to John chapter 17. In just a moment, we're going to read the entirety of that chapter. This is sometimes called, or in the heading of the little New Testament that I have, the Farewell Prayer. This is the prayer that Jesus is going to pray in that upper room with his disciples before he leaves that upper room and crosses over to the Garden of Gethsemane. He will pray again there to his Father, but then he'll pray in secret by himself, and then he'll be carried to the cross. So this is the final prayer that he prays with his apostles, a farewell prayer. And the things in that are things we need to be studying. Now, we're going to be studying this prayer by way of a Sunday school notes that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of February the 8th, 1925. And Elam called this Christ Intercessory Prayer. Well, turn to John 17. We'll be looking at that in just a moment. Before we do, I want to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and I'm going to be reading John 17 from the American Standard Version of 1901. And you can take your Bible, and if you have the King James Version, it will be very, very easy for you to follow right along. Now let's begin. John chapter 17 and verse 1. These things spake Jesus, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee, even as thou gavest him authority over all flesh, that is, to whom thou hast given him, he should give eternal life. And this is life eternal, that they should know thee, the only true God, and in him whom thou didst send, even Jesus Christ. I glorified thee on the earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I manifested thy name unto the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they know that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are from thee. For the words which thou gavest me, I have given unto them, and they received them, and knew of a truth that I came forth from thee, and they believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all things that are mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no more in the world, and these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep them in thy name, which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are. While I was with them, I kept in thy name, and which thou hast given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to thee. And these things I speak in the world, that they which have my joy made full of themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray that thou shouldest that thou shouldest take them from the world, not that thou shouldest take them from the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou didst send me into the world, even so send I them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Neither for these only do I pray, but for them also that believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfected into one, that the world may know that thou didst send me, and lovest them, even as thou lovest me. Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me to be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world knew thee not, but I knew thee, and these knew that thou didst send me, and I made known unto them thy name, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou lovest me may be in them, and I in them. Well, that is John chapter 17. Now, the golden text for this Sunday school lesson is John 17:11. Keep them in thy name which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. The devotional reading comes from Paul's epistles to Ephesians, to the church in Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, that ye may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inward man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now here are some hints and helps for the teachers that would be teaching this Sunday school lesson. In order to receive an answer, it's not necessary that prayers be recorded or offered in public or even heard by anyone except God. In order to be answered, it is not necessary for persons on whose behalf prayers are offered to hear them or even to know that they have been offered. But hearing such prayers and knowing that they have been made greatly encourage the ones for whom they have been offered. This prayer has been recorded for the benefit of all Christ's disciples for all time. The same is true of all other prayers recorded in the Bible, which prayers all should study. Many instances are given of Jesus' praying during his ministry on earth, but few of his prayers are recorded. This prayer of all lessons, of our lesson, is his longest recorded one. The prayer in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13 has been called the Lord's Prayer. This is the one Jesus taught his disciples to pray. The one of our lesson is truly the Lord's Prayer. It is the prayer he himself prayed. This solemn setting of this prayer makes it most impressive. Preceding it was his washing of the disciples' feet, his institution of the Lord's Supper, and his discourses to the 11. Following it would be the agony in the garden, the betrayal, the trials before Annas, Caiaphas, the Jewish council, and Pilate, and the crucifixion. It must have been offered about midnight, and was a fitting conclusion to Jesus' discourses to his disciples. It was offered in the presence of his disciples. Jesus foreknew the coming storm ready to burst over the heads of his disciples, that the shepherd would be smitten and the sheep would be scattered. In B.W. Johnson's commentary on John, he quotes from Dr. William Milligan as follows. No attempt to describe the prayer can give a just idea of its sublimity, its pathos, its touching and yet exalted character, its tone at once of tenderness and triumphant expectation. It speaks throughout of the work accomplished, of victory gained, of immediate expectation, of glorious reward. In the same commentary, Scaife is quoted as follows. Here is holy ground. Here is the gate of heaven. No such prayer was heard before or since. It could only be uttered by the Lord and Savior of men, the mighty intercessor and mediator, standing between heaven and earth before his wondering disciples. Note the threefold division of this prayer. First, Jesus prayed for himself. Second, he prayed for his immediate disciples. And third, he prayed for all who, in all time, would believe on him through their word. Now let's look at the explanatory notes. We read in John 17 and verse 1. These things spake Jesus, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee. These things are the solemn utterances of John chapter 13, 31 to John chapter 16 and verse 33, which we should read with the deepest of reverence. Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus offered this prayer. Praying at the grave of Lazarus, he also lifted up his eyes. At times, in Gethsemane, he prostrated himself. During his whole public ministry, Jesus spoke of a time as his hour. At the wedding feast in Cana, Jesus said to his mother, Mine hour is not yet come, John 2 and verse 4. And so he says in other places. Being troubled later on, he asked if he should say, Father, save me from this hour, adding, however, But for this cause came I into this hour, John 12 and verse 27. About to eat the last Passover supper with his disciples, he said, in Matthew 26 and verse 18, My time is at hand. And later in the night, in this prayer, he said, Father, the hour is come. This was the crucial, dreadful hour of his betrayal. Desertion, mock trials, scourging, suffering, shame, and death. But this was the triumphant and all-glorious hour, too, when he would gain the victory over the grave, abolish death, destroy Satan, and bring life and immortality to light through the gospel. We read in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, Since the children are sharers in the flesh and blood, he also himself in like manner partook of the same, that through death he might bring to naught him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might deliver all them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily not to angels doth he give help, but he giveth help to the seed of Abraham. Wherefore it behooveth him in all things to be made like unto his brethren, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people.